Excuse me. Alrighty. We are good. Well, today is Redemption Day. We're going to finish our four-week study of the authority of the believer. So by now, I expect you to flow like never before. So since you are very acquainted, you're going to put your hand in your heart. You're going to close your eyes. You're going to repeat after me. Holy Spirit, you came to teach me truth. I ask you to open my ears, to open my mind, and to open my heart to receive illumination that conforms me to the likeness of Jesus. I thank you, Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. I pray that you pray this from your heart, because after all, that's one of the reasons why we meet, to be edified, to be illuminated. We have been talking about the authority of the believer now, for this is the fourth week, and we have found out that Jesus has given authority to every believer. Whether we use that or not, every believer has the authority that Jesus paid a very high price for, to give us, and then he gave us freely. He gave it to the whole world, but only the believer seems to receive it. And so, though it is given to the whole world, it only belongs to those who have become children of God through the name of Jesus and through salvation. We have discussed the need to have knowledge of this authority in order to properly use it. And we look at the scripture in Hosea chapter 4, verse 6. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge, and I don't want to be one of those casualties. I don't want to be destroyed. I don't want to not know the things that have been freely given to me. And so we talked about being enforcers of the kingdom of God. We have talked about Jesus delegating authority over his church, and then he's seated at the right hand of the Father, expecting his enemies to be made his footstools. And so we are the ones that are staying on earth where the enemy has his heyday ever so often. And so we must take action. It's not just head knowledge and we say, yeah, I know that. We have to act upon it. We can't leave it in our heads. Jesus said in John chapter 8, verse 31, then Jesus said to those Jews who believed him, he said, if you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. You see, that implies a knowledge, and then that there's an action based on that knowledge so that we can experience the freedom he's talking about. So it's not just head knowledge. Now, all this authority that we have been talking about, this strength and power that we are to exercise is not our own. We like to do things on our own strength, and that's why things don't work out for us the way they should, because we're thinking that we are to do God's plan in our strength. In Ephesians chapter 6, the Apostle Paul discusses the weapons of our warfare and the armor that we ought to put on a regular basis. And he says, finally, brethren, Ephesians 6:10 says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Well, we have a commission and then we have an empowerment. It cannot be on our own, or else we won't have what it takes to do the job that God has asked us to. See, we are called to believe that what he has provided for us is enough. If we think we have to do it on our own power, it'll never get done. So it is in the Lord and in the power of His might that we do things. The Holy Spirit lives in you and I to help us enforce this delegated authority that has been given to us, but it's not against one another. It's against the enemy and his forces. So we're not to fight flesh and blood. That's not our warfare. It's against principalities, powers, rulers of darkness, and spiritual wickedness. And so this delegated authority that has been given to every believer, the Holy Spirit help us to apply properly and timely. In John, 1 John chapter 4, verse 4, John said to his children, "You are of God, little children, and have overcome him, because he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world." I hope that you're not scared of the enemy. I hope also that you're not irreverent, I should say. You know, sometimes people just get ugly against the enemy. And I mean ugly in a worldly way. Enemy is still a fallen archangel. And you don't just choose words to throw out to the enemy. You use the word of God. Jesus confronted the enemy in the wilderness before starting his ministry. And what did he do against the enemy? He used the word of God. Where if we are to be Jesus' representatives on earth, we ought to be using the word against the enemy, not our own techniques and worldly words. I know some people talk very bad about the enemy, blah, 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 laugh and this and that and the other. You stick to the word. Don't go beyond that point. So the point here is, he who is in you, the Holy Spirit is going to guide us and lead us to strategically know what to tell the enemy whenever he comes with his tricks and his deceptions. So we talked about that authority. We talked about when we got that authority. In Matthew 28:18, after Jesus rose from the dead, went to the Father, and then came back and presented himself to the disciples. In Matthew 28:18, "And Jesus came and spoke to the disciples, saying, 'All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore.'" And there's more that he says. But the point is, Jesus is saying, the Father has exalted me to the highest place in the universe. Now I'm sending you with authority to do the job that I'm calling you to do on the earth. And so Jesus is going to say, stay seated at the right hand of the majesty. And we are enforcing the kingdom of heaven on earth in our areas of influence. That doesn't mean you can go and overthrow the nation of Iraq. No, you have enough Iraq around your house to deal with. If you have not conquered the issues around your house, you know, the Lord wants you to have victory there before going anywhere else. You start in Jerusalem, then Judea, then Samaria, and then to the ends of the world. So, Jesus rose from the dead. He was given all authority. He transferred that authority to the church when he was seated at the place of honor in heaven. And Ephesians 2:5, we look at that. Ephesians 2:5 says, "Even when we were dead in trespasses, Jesus made us alive together with Christ," or God did, "by grace you have been saved." And then verse 6, "and has raised us up together and made us sit together in the heavenly places in Jesus." So that's verse 6, talks about the position that we are in Christ. We're seated with him in heavenly places. And Jesus is seated far above all principality, power, ruler, and wicked spirits. And we are sitting beside him. So we have positionally a place of authority over all the power of the enemy. And that's what we need to get here and then here. And we need to walk like we are so. You know, I am part of the Rodriguez family, and I walk like a Rodriguez. I don't know what that is or that, what that looks like, but I do. That's my nature. I don't walk like anybody else. I don't conduct myself like anybody else in the physical, because I know that I am Rodriguez. I was born that way, and probably I will die that way. I will be a Rodriguez. This is what we have to get as far as who we are in Christ. We are seated with Jesus in the heavenlies, far above all the power of the enemy, and we are to conduct ourselves as such. When somebody joins the sheriff department, I mean, they get a uniform, they usually get a gun and some more stuff in there, and when they walk, you know, they walk with authority. Amen. I'm the man or the woman. Amen. And they let you know that there are some things that they have the right, and you ought to know what kind of rights you got to walk in the sphere of influence that God has given you in your life. So you need to know it, and then you need to implement that authority within your area of influence. Romans 5:17, for if by one man's offense death reigned through one, that is Adam, much more those who receive abundance of grace of the gift of righteousness will reign in life through the one, Jesus Christ. I brought that scripture last time because I want you to know that this power, this authority, is not for the life afterwards. There's not going to be any enemies in the life afterwards. The new heaven and the new earth come, there's not going to be any enemy. Amen. So we don't have to exercise any authority as far as the enemy is concerned. So Jesus is giving us this authority while we're here on earth, flesh and blood, spirit, indwelling this body, and authority to exercise on this earth. So this starts in this life, and it is used against God's enemies now. Now, as you well know, Satan likes to take control of whatever he can on earth. And he will try to control you and I. But he can't unless we let him. And see, this is another of one of those paradigm shifts that we have to get here. We are already, when we are born again, we are much greater than the enemy is as far as authority and power. But we think that we just have to don't disturb him so that he doesn't come against me. Newsflash, he's going to come after you whether you bother him or not. So I may as well poke him as often as I can. So we can let the enemy run us either willingly, you know, we just indulge in sin deliberately, or we're ignorant and we allow him to run over us because of our ignorance. In John chapter 14, verse 12, Jesus said, most assuredly, the old King James says, verily, verily. And I told you last time that whenever Jesus repeats something, he repeats himself, it is a very important what he's about to say. Most assuredly, I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also. And greater works than these he will do because I go to my Father. Again, the aspect of delegated authority. I go sit down, you do the work. And in fact, you're going to do even greater things than I did. Well, I can't even heal anybody. Well, you can't because you don't believe you can. Apparently, you don't know that you can. Well, you have authority over sickness and disease. You don't do the actual healing. You just trust in the authority that has been given to you. And so, greater works than this he will do because I go to my Father. I delegate my authority over to my church. Now, this is not just for some believers. Well, that's only for the apostles and special people. No. He who believes in me, if you call yourself a Christian because you accepted Jesus as your Savior, then you are one of those who believes in him. And so you are supposed to be, you and I are supposed to be doing the works that he did. Now, it is very interesting. I know I can't get into it now, but while Jesus was on the earth, remember that he came to fulfill the law, not to abolish it. He came to fulfill it. And so while Jesus was physically on the earth, he operated under the law, under the old covenant. And under the old covenant, he did this. You remember when he took his 12 disciples, sent them out, and they did a lot of things. And then they came back, gave a report, excuse me. And then Jesus chose 70 others, sent them out two by two, gave them authority. And they came back and said, they were all excited. Even the demons are subject to us. And Jesus said, you know, that's great, but there's even something greater. Your names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. But, did I miss something? In Luke 10, 19, after they came back and they told Jesus the report of what they had done, Jesus said, behold, I give you the authority to trample on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Now, this was all covenant authority, because Jesus came to fulfill the law. And so, you know, you never heard Jesus speaking in tongues. That was part of the new covenant, right? So Jesus was operating on the old covenant. And so the Holy Spirit was not yet given because Jesus' redemption had not been paid, but Jesus transfers his authority to the 70, and they did the work. It was a temporary, I would say, authority given to the disciples. And so we have a better covenant than those guys did. And it says that those guys had power over all the power of the enemy, and that nothing shall by any means would hurt them. What more than that do we need? Well, we get more in the new covenant. Well, first of all, let me show you. In Hebrews 8, verse 6, it says, but now Hebrews 8 is talking about Jesus. But now he has obtained a more excellent ministry when he rose from the dead, inasmuch as he is also mediator of a better covenant, which was established on better promises. So those disciples acted on the old covenant, and they had authority over all the power of the enemy. We're in the new covenant, and now the Spirit of God dwells in us permanently, and he leads us and guides us specifically. Those disciples, you know, they had to go out physically, look. Oh, there's a sick one. Lay hands on them. There we go. Oh, there's one acting out like a demon possession. Come out of him in Jesus' name. Now, we don't even have to see with our eyes. The Holy Spirit can say, minister to the sister of yours who is grieving right now in her home. And you go and you minister. Listen. God has given us all the tools that we need to be successful and victorious and do greater works than the apostles did. And we are just sitting in our butts complaining about how hard the job is. Physical jobs. So, where was I? Oh, here we are. So we have a better covenant with better promises. We should be doing greater things than the apostles during the time of Jesus did. We should be in the book of Acts, and that's why we were studying it. So since we are the body of Christ and he's not here in person, we're the ones that are supposed to be doing the work on the earth. whatever is being permitted in your area of responsibility, in your area of influence, whatever is happening there, we are permitting it. So, just think about what is happening in your area of influence, and if things are not going right, guess who is responsible? You and I are. Because God has already given us a commission, established the kingdom on earth as it is in heaven. He has given us the authority. He has given us all the power over the enemy. And he said, go. And we are supposed to do. And so whatever is permitted on earth, we are permitting it because of our lack of kingdom action and kingdom enforcement. It is our responsibility to enforce what God has already established as so. We want things to go right, but we usually want somebody else to do it for us. In fact, we have heard, you know, it grieves us when we hear Christians complaining and accusing God for lack of intervention. God, why did you allow this? God, why didn't you do something? You know, God is ruler and he's judge, but we are the enforcers. You know, when a judge, you know, in the middle of a trial and somebody is sentenced to be guilty, you know, the judge hits that gavel and says, you're guilty as charged. You know, your penalty is such and such. The judge doesn't get up from that seat. He just decreed the judgment. Who takes care of the guilty person? The bailiff. You are the bailiff. I am the bailiff. God has already sentenced all the works of the enemy, and now we're supposed to take him to jail. And we're just sitting looking at the judge. That's a good thing. And the guilty person, he's sitting there having his heyday, and the judge is not going to get up. He has delegated that authority. He's not going to just take it back. He's not that kind of God. He expects you to do something about it. We get the assignments. We get the orders. And we go to town. We go to work under the direction of the Holy Spirit. I mean, how easier can it get? Unless we can't hear what the Holy Spirit is saying because we're so preoccupied with life in general. Amen. And as long as the enemy keeps us in ignorance and unbelief, here, we're defeated in every battle. Well, I don't know if I'm strong enough to handle this thing. Oh, that's just too scary for me to say or to do something about. I don't have the skills. I don't have the strength. I don't have the knowledge. I don't know scripture. Well, that's your fault. It's not God's fault. He has provided for everything. In fact, he has placed you and me in a time and a country where the Bibles are flooded in every place. I'm sure there's 3 or 4 Bibles in your house somewhere collecting dust. Plus, your phone should have one at least. We must resist the enemy in faith, knowing who we are in Christ. Knowing that we are the bailiffs in this. We are the sheriffs. We are the, what is it? The marshals. We're the ones that, what is it? Enforce. We are the ones who enforce the laws that God has already established. We have authority over all the power of the enemy. There is an incident in the book of Acts, I think it's chapter 3, right after the day of Pentecost. You know, the disciples, they were still Jewish, and so they had the custom of going 3 times a day to the temple to pray. They went in the morning, at noon, and in the afternoon. And so in Acts chapter 3, this particular time, Peter and John are going to the temple again. Well, what happened in the temple? Usually there were a bunch of sick and beggars in the front because they were expecting the Christians to help them out, because the other ones wouldn't, or most of them didn't. So they were sitting there, they were sick, they were poor, they were distraught. And so I'm sure that three times a day, every day, the disciples would go by a bunch of them. And yet, this particular time, the Holy Spirit tells Peter and John, minister to that paralytic in there. You know, I'm almost here to say, probably Jesus went by that man at one point. And it wasn't the Holy Spirit's time to heal that man until that particular day. And so Peter and John get this direction from the Spirit of God and say, we got to minister to this paralytic here. And they caught his attention. Look on us, Peter said. In fact, we'll read what he said. Acts 3, verse 4, and fixing his eyes, that's Peter, fixing his eyes on him with John, Peter said, look at us. So he gave him his attention, expecting to receive something from him. Oh, they're going to give me money. Hallelujah. Then Peter said, silver and gold I do not have, but what I do have, I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. So let me get this picture right. Peter and John come up, see that paralytic in there, knowing that he's been there forever. And they say, Jesus, heal this poor man. This is what we do in our prayers. Oh God, heal my sister, heal my son or my daughter. That's not the way to pray if you are a believer. See, you have been given authority already over disease and sickness. And so Peter did not ask God to do it. He acted on the authority that he knew he had. He says, in the name of, see, he knew where that authority came, but he didn't say, Jesus, heal. No, he says, rise up and walk in the name of Jesus. It wasn't a direction to God, do something for this guy. It was in the name of Jesus, with my authority, in the name of Jesus, I command you to rise up and walk. And that's a very different story from what we do most of our time. Yeah. Where am I? He knew who he represented. And by the Spirit of God, he knew exactly what timing to do it at. That particular day, that morning, when they went to prayer. And you know, I know most of us have prayed and lay hands on the sick for them to recover. And then we look at them, hoping they will wiggle something that didn't wiggle before. And then if something wiggle, oh, there it is. You notice what Peter and John did? He said, in the name of Jesus, rise up and walk. Grab him and get up. They didn't wait for him to wiggle his legs a little bit. No, he said, I know my authority. Get up. You have what it takes. I just gave it to you. And so he took action on what he believed. He knew his authority, and he knew that it was supposed to work. And so he yanked him up, and what does he say? And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankles, bones, received strength. See, Peter had to get into action before the manifestation came. And we want something to wiggle and things to change before we say, oh, it happened. No, we need to know it happened before we see anything in the natural. That's when you know that you got the authority in Jesus Christ that he has already given you, and you're acting on it. And that's the way we have to do it all the time. We just have to get used to it. Ooh. Where am I? Peter demanded rights upon that paralytic man, but he was not demanding them from God. He was demanding it from the devil who had bound that man for a long time.
That's right.
So when we speak to situations, we don't demand anything from God. We use the authority that God has given us. And in the name of Jesus, this has to change right now. Satan, get your hands off. You, the authority has been given against Satan and his demons, not against God, not against people. And so this is where we need to concentrate our authority against. In John chapter 14, verse 12, Jesus is talking to his disciple. And he says there, most assuredly, this is a verily, verily that I said to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, will he do, he will do also, and greater works than these he will do because I go to my Father. We saw that. The verse after that says, and whatever you ask in my name, that I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it. You notice those two verses have the word ask. Well, it's interesting, that word. The Greek word for that word that was translated ask is the word aiteo. If you know Greek, you recognize that. It's got several meanings. Aiteo can be translated in several different ways, and factually is in the Bible. But one of its meanings is to demand. So let's put that in context here. Whatever you demand in my name, that I will do. If you demand anything in my name, I will do it. This is what Peter did with the paralytic in the Gate Beautiful. I demand you, Satan, to loose him up right now. Now let me give you an example of that word used in a way of demanding. In Luke 23, Jesus was being tried in front of Pilate. Thank you. And so Pilate was saying, I don't see anything wrong with this man. I don't know why you need to let him go. And people say, no, no, no. And Pilate says, what has he done? You know, what shall I do? And he says, but they were insistent, demanding with loud voices that he be crucified. That word, demanding, is the original word, aiteo. So these guys were saying, I demand that Jesus be crucified. And Pilate said, okay, have it your way. See, this is what we need to do. We demand the enemy to take his hands off, stop his dirty work, get out of here. See, we don't demand God. We demand the devil when he's done wrong. And you know who you are in Christ. You can tell him where to go. Now, Jesus is saying here, take my authority. Go do my work, and I will back you up. That's what he said. Whatever you ask in my name, I will do. Peter said, in the name of Jesus Christ, rise up and walk. And Jesus did the healing. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it. That's what Jesus said to his disciples. Now, there are times of petition. In John chapter 16, later on, verse 23, Jesus he's talking about the Holy Spirit. He says, and in that day you will ask me nothing. Most assuredly I say to you, whatever you ask the Father in my name, he will give you. Until now, verse 24, you have asked nothing in my name. Ask, and you will receive, that your joy may be full. So, there's a time to ask the Father for certain things. In fact, we may know that we have to do a job, but we need to ask the Father, when is it that you want me to do it? Under what circumstances? God, I need to know specific so I can be accurate and timely. So that's asking the Father. But the jump, I don't ask. God, give me authority. I already got it. I know what I need to do. I just need a little direction as far as timing. So there's times that you ask God for things, but you ask for things that you don't have yet. There are a lot of things that God has already given us, and he said, acquire them by faith. And we're still asking God, God, give me a God, give me. And he's saying, I did. Why don't you just take it? Getting kind of dramatic here. It's fun. I don't know about you, but I'm having fun. Okay. Almost done here. I know you're hungry. I hear your stomachs. We generally know how to ask the Father for certain things. In fact, we ask way more than we need to. But those things God has already declared that are ours, we don't need to petition for them. We declare them by faith. Now, we may request the timing, the place, the particular situation, but we don't have to ask for whatever belongs to us already. Let's take a quick example just to bring the point a little home, closer. Say you're a parent and you got a boy and you buy him a bicycle on his birthday and he's so excited and he wants to do it all the time. And parents said no, you know, there's time for that, so they put it in the garage. And so a couple of days, well, one day passes by, and the next day the child may ask, when can I play with the bicycle? And the parent may tell him. But the thing that the boy will never ask is, Mom, Dad, can I have a bicycle? He's already got one. It was given yesterday on your birthday. Now, what you need to ask is, when are you supposed to play with what is yours, but not to get a bicycle? You already got it. We're doing the same thing to God with so many of the promises that have been given to us. And we're still, God, give me. God, I'm lacking finances. He has given us all things that pertain to life and godliness. He will meet my needs according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Those are given. I just have to appropriate them by faith. And this is where the battle hits the road. Faith is involved regarding authority. Our faith needs to be based not on what we see, but who the Word says we are and what we have in Christ. And that's why we need to know who we are in Christ, what is our authority, so that we can claim those things that do belong to us, and then I can ask those things that the Lord wants me to have, that he asked me, that he told me that I need to ask him. Ephesians 2:5, even when we were dead in trespasses and made us alive together with Christ, by grace you've been saved, and raised us up together and made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. I want you to memorize that verse, and I want you to see yourself every time you come up to a situation. I am sitting with Christ in the heavenly places, far above all principality, power, ruler, dominion, and every name that is named. I have the authority in Christ Jesus. Is my life following Christ? I mean, if I live in sin all the time, don't expect that authority to work for you. Because you are in rebellion with God already. His authority has been cut off. Not taken away, but cut off. You're ineffective in what you do because the enemy has something to accuse you of. You can't do that because... And he's got the right accusation because you haven't repented of that sin. But if everything is clear, as far as you know, in your heart, your conscience is clear, then in the name of Jesus, back off. And he has to. So, as a believer following the Lord Jesus Christ, we have authority in him. And I'm going to talk about the present the different scriptures that you need to know for sure. Mm-hmm. Matthew 28:18. Jesus came and spoke to them saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and earth. Go therefore. That's the passing on the authority from Jesus to us. Mark 16:17-18. And these signs will follow those who believe. In my name they will cast out demons. They will speak with new tongues. They will take up serpents. And if they drink anything deadly, it will by no means hurt them. They will lay hands on the sick and they will recover. You notice that it doesn't say they may. It always says they will. And it will happen. So there's no if here. You know who you are, then you know what's yours. James 4:7. Therefore, submit to God. Obviously, we have to be free from sin. As far as the best you can do, which is not always the best, but if that's the best you can do, that's the best you can do. God, forgive me and cleanse me by your blood. And we have to do that on a regular basis. I do. And I have to because I sin regularly. So I submit to God, and then I know if I'm right with my daddy, then I can resist the enemy. You know, I don't even have to act. I just resist him. Amen. I don't have to spill out a lot of prayers and scriptures. I resist you in the name of Jesus. And he has to flee according to that scripture. Right. 1 Peter 5:8. Be sober, be vigilant. In other words, you can't be just easy-go-lucky about everything in life. You have to take matters. You're a bailiff. You're a sheriff. You have to act your role. Because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. By the way, his teeth had been pulled out. So he can just act ugly, but he can't chew on you unless you let him. Verse 9, resist him steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brothers in the world. In other words, whatever is happening to you is not unique to you. And others have had victory. Why can't you? Why can't I? Maybe I'm not doing something right. Well, make it right. Ephesians 4:26. Be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your wrath, nor give place to the devil. Again, if we break our fellowship with the Lord, then our authority is not going to work that great. When we are angry and we continue with that anger, and let the sun go on our anger and our wrath, then our strength is weakened because we don't have the fellowship with God, and then we give place to the devil. So, to wrap up, you need to know who you are in Christ. You need to know what is your authority in him, and you need to walk in that authority in your home, at work, and everywhere else the Lord calls you to do some work. We're about to get into an evangelistic mode in this house. We need to spend some time in prayer. You need to confess those scriptures we just talked about over you and realize who you are in Christ so that when we do go out in the camp of the enemy, you know how to do warfare correctly. And see, the idea is not just to make the devil run, it's to rescue those who are trapped in their prisons. We need to get them out into the liberty that exists in Christ. So, Father, we just thank you. Thank you for all the things that you've given. Father, you have given us everything that pertains to life and godliness so that we may enjoy life and life more abundant. Lord, I thank you for the authority that you have bestowed upon your body, your church, your bride. Lord, I thank you for all the things that you've freely given us. Forgive us for us being so slothful. and careless about the things that are so important, are so great and precious. And Father, we repent before you, and we ask you forgive us for our lack of zeal, our apathy, our slumberness. Father, help us. Lord, your spirit lives in us. Lord, I pray that your alarm clock will go on every minute and you remind us of something different that we have to take care of. Father, that we would not get sleepy and comfortable, but Father, we would be doing your business as you have called us to. Father, there is always great reward after we do a work that you ask us to. I pray that that would encourage us to continue being faithful in everything you call us to. And Father, I thank you. I bless your people. I pray these things would get into each one of our hearts and that we walk on it daily. I bless your people in Jesus' name. Amen. Anyone needs prayer, ask your brother or your sister. They got the authority.